Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is mindset, and we're going to be talking about rocking chairs. So why in the world are we talking about rocking chairs? Well, let's very quickly get through a really corny analogy and or metaphor. I don't really know what the difference between those two things are, but I'm going to tell you something that's really corny, and then we're going to talk about how to address that component in life. So kind of our normal pattern here. So when you're sitting in a rocking chair, you're able to create movement. So you can drift a little forward, you can drift a little backward, you're able to just kind of stay busy, stay moving, stay in motion. But you don't actually go anywhere. So you just sit in the chair. It's a fun time, okay? Then you're creating some work for yourself and stuff, and you're being busy, but it doesn't really lead to anything new or different or anywhere else. You're just kind of sitting still while not sitting still. So you're doing a lot of movement, but you're not, that movement isn't getting you anywhere. So that is the cliche analogy we all know of, like kind of like a hamster's wheel, like, you know, or mouse wheel, like mouse running in the wheel, but they never really go anywhere. So we talk about like spinning our wheels, like in mud. We could talk about, you know, one step forward, two steps back, all these cliches. So let's get past the fact that it's really corny and let's actually look at this. So I wanted to kind of look at some things we do in the gym and then talk about what we do outside of the gym. And just kind of discuss how we all, myself included, we do fall into this trap quite often where we want to feel like we're doing something. So we do something. But we don't really want to do the somethings that take a lot of effort. We don't really want to do the somethings that are kind of like hard to do. We'd rather just do the somethings that, you know, they're a little bit discomfortable. So that way we can lie to ourselves and say, hey, I am trying. But we always tend to avoid those ones that we kind of know we should do, but we know they're going to be really hard to do, and we don't really want to put in that much effort. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if we think about, like, in the gym world, okay, so I had two good scenarios I kind of wanted to run through, and we'll talk about them a little bit, and I'll talk about how to fix them or address them. So the first scenario we have is somebody who trains, you know, say 3 times a week on average. Some weeks might be 2, some weeks might be 4, but generally they're hitting 3 workouts a week pretty consistently. And if you were to ask them, they would say they ate healthy. They might even be able to pass like a lie detector test saying that they actually eat healthy. But their weight is kind of always up and down. Their body really never changes much. And if it does, it seems to be in like a 3-month spurt, but then all of a sudden they're back to their kind of normal self for the next, you know, 6, 9, 12 months. So nothing really ever seems consistent and nothing seems permanent. So that is one scenario we see pretty often. Another scenario I see is people who are ridiculously dedicated. So they train 5, 6 days a week. They eat super strict, whether that's to gain weight, lose weight, or stay the same. So even if you're trying to gain weight, you have to be very strict with meal timing. Make sure you eat food even when you don't want to eat food. So some of my worst diets were actually the ones where I had to force feed myself, and I've actually thrown up before by trying to eat. It does happen. So there can be nutritional discipline needed in order to eat to gain weight. That does happen. That's a real thing. So, but that's what they're doing. So they train 5, 6 days a week. They're very strict. So they strict in training and strict in food. And then, but what happens is they don't really get any leaner. They don't really get any bigger. And they don't really get any stronger. So they kind of sort of made progress maybe in all three of those areas to some degree at some time. But it's never really that extreme, and it's never really enough for what it seems like the effort that they put in. So you have those kind of two camps. So one is they get in the gym, you know, 3 times a week, they eat relatively healthy, but nothing ever really seems to stick. The other one is they're ridiculously dedicated, train all the time, eat super strict, but they never really see the results that they want for the effort that they're putting in. Okay? So those would be people who are putting in a lot of motion. They're putting in a lot of work, but they're not really getting anywhere. So they're not really getting anything for that work. Okay, so in scenario one, the train 3 times a week, eat healthy, but nothing really ever seems consistent. Okay, in that scenario, what we typically have the problem of is inconsistency. So you think you're doing well, but if you were actually to do like an adherence chart, okay, and actually write down the efforts you're putting in, the things you're getting right versus the things you're getting wrong, it would be depressing as shit, and that's why you don't do it. So I talk all the time about tracking things, about like our adherence charts, our smiley face charts and stuff like that. We discuss it all the time because that's how important it is. But very rarely does anybody do it because we don't like being faced with the truth. We would rather lie to ourselves and get to be lazy somewhat and only have enough discipline to where we feel like we're kind of sort of doing something, and we can get to bitch and whine and complain like, oh man, I eat healthy, but I never really get anything for it. Diets don't just work for me. Yeah, so apparently you're that one person on the planet that food doesn't respond to. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Or you'd say like, oh, I'm training all the time, but you know, my body just, it doesn't respond to weights. That's the stupidest thing in the world. So what it is what's happening is you're either doing the wrong stuff, or you're not doing it consistently enough. Okay? There is no such thing as diets don't work for me. You're just doing the wrong structure of a diet. And there is no such thing as I train all the time, but my body just doesn't change. You know, there's a whole bunch of stupid terms people use. But like, you know, I'm a hard gainer, or my body's just stubborn. Oh yeah, horse shit. Okay? So all this stuff is absolutely insanely predictable. And you can force things to happen when you understand how to manipulate the components. Okay? So, there is possibility to make progress. You just have to usually track your results. I mean, you track your efforts. Okay? So, if you're doing like a smiley face chart that we talked before, is where like if I eat a good meal, I get a smiley face. If I eat something but it was a bad something, I get a frowny face. And if I miss a meal, it's a blank space. So obviously you wouldn't want any blank spaces because you wouldn't want to miss meals, and we don't want any frowny faces. So if you went through your week and say you were supposed to have, let's just go with 3 meals a day, okay? So 3 meals a day times 7 days, that's 21 meals. You would love to get to the end of the week and have 21 smiley faces. Not going to happen, right? Might happen 1 week, might happen 2 weeks, might even happen for a month, but there's no way to sustain that for their entire life. So we've found that if you can get about a 90% adherence rate, that's good enough to make really good progress. So that would be about 18 to 19 meals correctly out of 21. So that gives you 2 to 3 mistakes per week. That if you make 2 to 3 mistakes, whether it's a frowny face or a blank space, okay, you're still going to make pretty good results. So that would be your goal. Now, how many people listening here think you're doing 90% adherence? Very few. Okay, it's really freaking hard to get 90% adherence. So if you were to use a tracking chart like our smiley face chart, and you were to track and see what your adherence percentage was, you would see that probably on average most people are coming out to about 70-75%, and that's why they don't really see great results. Because 70% on a test, so to speak, is very average. So if you put 70% into your training, 70% into your nutrition, you're going to look average. That's it. That's a sucky truth, but that's the truth. Okay? So if you find yourself in that group, okay, scenario one, I train 3 times a week, I eat quote-unquote healthy, but I never really seem to get much results. The number one problem you're mostly making is you're inconsistent with your efforts. So you would want to do some type of tracking, okay, for your nutritional efforts. But then also in your training, you need to be doing progressions in your training. If you're doing the same exercises, the same structures, the same intensities, if you're doing the same, the same, the same, you're going to get the same, the same, the same, where you just stay the same, the same, the same. So you have to make progressions. You have to try newer, harder things in your training if you want your body to become newer and harder. Okay? So if you want to look new, you have to do new. It's pretty simple when we say it this way, but that's a mistake a lot of people make, is they actually eat relatively clean, but sometimes their training is just the same boring crap they do all the time over and over again. It never really is anything new. It's never anything different. It's never anything that pushes the body to create a new self. So when you go in and train, is think to yourself, is why would my body need to build muscle? Why would my body need to get stronger? Why would my body need to get leaner and more efficient if it can already do the training I'm asking it to do? So if the training I'm doing is uncomfortable, but it's not really that hard, my body doesn't really need to change. So our two ways to fix scenario one is to, number one, use adherence charts, use tracking charts. Okay, so you can see how well, how consistent of effort you're putting in. Now, I've offered to send this chart for free to people, and I still always do. So email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the chart anytime you want it. You can also check out podcast number 112, titled Training, and it's Goldilocks Paradox. Okay, and you can listen into that a little bit and find out if you're doing too much, too little, whatever you're doing with your training, to see if you can actually do the right amount of training, okay? And that's for like adherence kind of components. We also have podcast number 70 called The Importance of Training Progressions. So that'll explain why you must progress in your training, okay? So we need to kind of pay attention to our adherence to training, but then also, is our training consistently getting harder to challenge us to get a consistently new body? Okay, so that's podcast 112 and podcast 70. Then podcast 293 discusses methods to improve diet adherence. So if you're struggling to adhere to your diet, check out podcast 293. Okay, so those are three awesome podcasts that you can check out if you fit into scenario one. Now, scenario two. So for my type A psychopaths who train 5, 6, 7 days a week, you're super strict in your diet, everything is freaking perfect because you're hashtag beast mode and you're doing everything awesome. And you actually probably are, okay? But the problem is you're not getting any results, you're not seeing any changes. And typically the reason why is you're doing too many things that kind of conflict with each other. So in your workout, you might be creating really good muscle damage, but you're not feeding the body to create any new muscle. So you're tearing up your current muscle and barely feeding it enough to repair its current muscle, and you're not giving it a surplus to create new muscle. And typically we do that because we're worried about getting fat. So typically we want to build muscle, but we don't want to get fat. We want to get stronger, but we don't want to lose our cardio effect. We kind of want the best of everything. And that typically leaves you with nothing because you're just conflicting. Everything you're doing is kind of fighting against each other. So I see this a lot in my CrossFit athletes that I work with. So they'll come in and they come to our gym because they want to learn how to get stronger in squat and deadlift and, you know, overhead press and maybe even just some other general movements. And what typically happens is they're doing so much other shit in their training that they're never allowing their nervous system and their body to actually recover from the strength-based stuff. So I've worked with CrossFit athletes before who they're trying to run some strength-based program Monday, Wednesday, and Friday while they're doing Olympic lifts and other collateral movements that use the same muscles on Tuesday, Thursdays, then Saturday doing some Metcon cardio crazy shit, and they wonder, I'm never getting stronger, because you're never allowing your body to repair and recover. You're just beating the shit out of a system, and you're never giving it any recovery. So then all of a sudden they start floss banding their knees and elbows. They got these, percussion gun things to always address tight musculature. They got a lacrosse ball jammed in every crevice of the body. So they're trying to fight off all these small acute injuries before they turn into big injuries. Well, the reason why you have the small acute injuries is because you're kicking the shit out of yourself and you're not giving yourself any time to recover. So anytime I can get a CrossFit athlete to actually just freaking take a day off, you know, maybe just do yoga or Pilates or some kind of like active recovery, all of a sudden they come in and they break their PR the very next day and had nothing to do with anything that I did. It just told them to take a damn day off. So they're overtrained all the time. So they're always running on an overtrained, worn out system. So that's something you see a lot as well. So they're training all the time, their food is freaking perfect, but they're never making progress because their body's never allowed a chance to actually develop and create that progress. So when you are in the gym, the only thing you're improving is your technique of stuff, okay? Everything you're doing in the gym actually tears your body down. It's when you sleep and eat that you can actually recover and build a new body to build new abilities. So if you're beating the shit out of your body all the time, you're never giving it time to create those new abilities. You're just constantly using up a system and it's slowly getting depleted over time, which is why you have all these small annoyances all over your body. Okay? So how do we fix this? Focus. Focus, focus, focus. This 100% does not mean that you can only do one thing at a time. So, overwhelmingly, almost all of the clients I work with, we have multiple goals in place. So, if they let me control their nutrition, they're going to be relatively lean. So, pretty lean, much more than the average person doing their goals. They're also going to have better energy throughout the day. They're going to have more muscularity, okay, than other people having the same goals. So, a lot of the powerlifter athletes, for example, strength-based athletes I work with, they're a little more muscular and a little bit leaner than the other people of their weight classes because we eat for that goal. We eat for maximum body composition because that maximizes their strength potential. So, that's for the athletes who let me control their nutrition. And the reason why I say that is not everybody likes to eat the way that I tell them to eat because it does have discipline to it. And then also sometimes people have other like nutrition coaches they're working with, but they need training help, so they'll hire me for the training help. But that is something we do all the time. So I have clients who work on injury rehab while they're getting stronger, while they're building muscle, while they're staying lean. So I have helped a ton of people fix injuries, past injuries, and they've come back bigger, stronger, leaner, everything, okay? We have other people who compete in strength and aesthetic competitions. So they might do powerlifting or strongman at one part of the year. They might do, you know, bikini, fitness figure, you know, classic physique, women's physique. They'll do one of those aesthetic shows at another time of the year. You can 1,000,000% do those things. Everything just has to match in line. So your meal timing needs to be correct for your goal. Your meal frequency needs to be correct for your goal. Your calories on training days versus non-training days needs to be correct. Your protein needs to be maintenance high so your body can fully recover. You need to have enough damn carbs in your diet. So too many people do ketogenic diets, which are useless. Okay. Now, this is a very aggressive terminology, and are there cases where ketogenic diets work great? Yes. But usually carbs help everybody run better. So if you are a machine, you want to put in very good, efficient fuel. And carbs help that, okay? Now, do I have some people who do ketogenic diets? Yes. But overwhelmingly, majority of people, they need to eat more, but they don't get fat if they're eating correct meal frequency and meal timing, and to make sure that the amount of calories they're eating is coming from a proper balance of proteins, fats, and carbs. So typically, people get those things off balance. Okay, mistimed and missed amounts. And that's why they have trouble making sure they have enough food to recover, but not enough food that they're actually going to get fat from it. So it's balancing all the components that we talk about all the time. Is total caloric intake, protein requirements, meal timing and frequency, and then macronutrient balance. Okay, we talk about those all the time, and it's just finding the balance between all those, depending on the goal that you have. And then making sure that your training matches that as well. So that way your training has enough recovery, but enough stimulus for each of your goals. So, how do we handle all this, okay? So, if you're in this category, category number two, okay, your nutrition-based podcast that you want to check out is podcast 109, okay, is a really good one called Nutrition for Peak Body Composition, okay, so that's a good one. If you want to make sure you're big as lean as you can be. And then if you also want to make sure that you have like enough energy, okay, and you can kind of be performance-based, we have podcast 241, which is Nutrition Concepts for Aesthetic Athletes, okay? So, and then we also have another podcast is 321, Three Common Nutrition Mistakes of Strength and Aesthetic Athletes. So there are some podcasts you can check out, okay? So 109, 241, and 321. Then, for training, is we have one podcast, number 78, which is titled Following a Program but Not Getting Results. And we talk about what you might be able to do to save your current program, to make it work. Or, podcast 62, we talk about how to pick the right program. Okay? So once you find out whether the problem is you or your program, okay, then you can, if it is the program, you can go check out 62 and see if there's a way to pick out the right program for you, okay? Now, that's a lot of information at once, and in our link, I will make sure I reference these podcasts so you can see them, but that's a good scenario of two situations, okay, in which people are doing a lot of effort. They're doing a lot of motion, but they're not going anywhere for it. They're not getting any results. They're not moving forward. They're just kind of spinning their wheels, or they're sitting in a rocking chair. Okay? Now, what about outside of the gym? What about things where we try to work on relationships? Maybe we want to stop like negativity in our life. So there are things that we want to improve about our life that are outside of the gym. And often in those things as well, we run into just repetitive efforts that don't really get us anything. Okay? So just like we would want to track our adherence for nutrition and training, we want to track our adherence for behaviors. So I talk all the time about using a tracking app on my phone. So I have behaviors and things I want to do every day. Then I make sure I check them off if I do them every day. I get an X if I don't. But it lets me see how frequently I'm actually doing things that are supposed to improve my life. So rather than think I'm doing well, but only doing something 4 out of 7 days a week, that's not good. Why not 5? Why not 6? Why not 7 out of 7? Okay? You can also journaling. Journaling helps you see repetitive thoughts and actions. You know, you can see like, man, I wrote this the last 15 days in a freaking row. Maybe I need to address this. So journaling is really helpful as well. You can also do reading materials to learn how to address issues. So I read a lot of like self-help books because I'm a dork. But they help me give actions and mindsets that are helpful and see if I can make improvements and changes and actually put some actions to the things I want to change. Okay? So think about relationships. If you want to improve a relationship, when's the last time you said you're sorry? When's the last time you actually admitted to the things that you do wrong? When's the last time you took the first step to address issues that you both know are there? Okay? We can all sit there and say, oh, when they say they're sorry, then I'll speak up, or, oh, then I'll, you know, da 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 da. Horse shit, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Okay? So you're a big boy, you're a big girl. Step up, do it first. If you really want that relationship to be saved, take the first step. Say you're sorry. Admit what you got wrong of what you got wrong. Okay? Yeah, they have faults too. Don't list theirs. Don't be snooty. Okay? Don't be snippety. Just say you're sorry. These are the things that I did wrong. I apologize for those. Think of what their hurt, their worry, their concerns, their priorities are. So chances are if a relationship went sour, it's because you got hurt. Well, in what way did they get hurt? Maybe there's a hurt that they have that you're unaware of. That's something to think of. Now, this is for a relationship that you want to save. Maybe there's a relationship that's absolute garbage. The person hurts you all the time. They take advantage of you. It's time to step away. Okay? And maybe that's what you're struggling with. Well, freaking step away. You know, if every time I touch a hot stove, I get burned, I'm going to pretty soon stop touching that damn stove. Okay, if you got burnt the last 3 or 4 times, why in the world would you touch the 5th time? If you know that relationship isn't good, separate yourself regardless of what the connection is, even if they're family. If someone hurts you repetitively, that means they don't love you. And you need to step away and love yourself. You need to take care of yourself. Okay? Now, what about negativity? So maybe you have negativity in your life. And you're just always kind of like a Debbie Downer. You're always like, oh, everything goes bad. Life is miserable. So you're living in constant Eeyore mode, okay, from Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore mode. Is if you want to stop that negativity, you got to put some actions to it, okay? You can have a positive mantra that you say every morning that puts you in a positive state of mind, sets your mode for the day, okay? You can do replacement phrases. So if every time something happens, you're like, oh, geez, not this again. You can say something like, you know what, this has come up before, and I've overcome it in the past, I'll overcome it this time too. So you can do replacement phrases, you can do daily reflections at the end of the day, and say, hey, you know, typically I would have been very negative about these things throughout the day, but they actually worked out okay. This thing went well, that thing went well, so when that comes back up, I'm going to learn to calm down and understand that this will pass, just like it passed today. So, that's something that I do all the time, is I have, sometimes when I'm tired and worn out, I have a hard time being very good at being social, okay? And I usually just want to go hide away and be away from everybody. So sometimes when I'm tired and somebody wants to pull me into a conversation, I will usually like half-ass the conversation, or I don't seem very enthusiastic, which isn't fair to them. It's my own issue. So I've recognized before that, hey, if I'm going to spend 5 minutes in the conversation anyhow, let me spend 5 minutes happy and then excuse myself. Rather than not wanting to be there for the 5 minutes, making that person feel bad whenever they actually just wanted to talk to me. That's a freaking compliment that somebody actually wants to share part of their life with you. And here I was being a, you know, jerk and be like, geez, a whiz, I just want to go home. Why do they have to bother me? Yada, yada, yada. Whenever you should be saying like, oh, that's pretty cool. They want to talk to me. You know, I'm tired, but let me buck it up and let's give you, you know, 2-3 good minutes. Be super happy. And then I'll excuse myself because I am tired and I need to go home. But if I'm going to be in the conversation, I need to be positive. So I'm kind of doing that to myself is anytime I've been negative and I kind of like was like crappy in the conversation, I'll kind of think back on that later on and be like, you know what? I would have spent the same damn time being happy. Why can't I just be happy next time? And I try that really hard. So that's something I work on all the time. Another thing is trigger awareness. So for myself, I know if I overextend myself at night and I should have left at, say, 8 o'clock and I'm not leaving until 8:15, I know that then if somebody tries to talk to me, I'm going to be a freaking brick to them and I'm going to have, like, try to just run out the door. So if I know I want to leave by 8, I start packing up and I start walking out at 7:50. Now, I used to be the type that said, well, you just lost 10 minutes of work. Well, 10 minutes out of a whole damn day isn't that significant. But if it is, here's what I do. Is feel free to laugh at all this craziness because it is crazy. But say I leave it at 7:50 and actually make it to my car and nobody really wanted to talk. And I was like, holy crap, you know, I actually have the 10 minutes. Well, I'll send a text to somebody that's been waiting on a text. I'll send a message on Instagram, maybe an email, a message on Facebook, wherever I get messages. So I'll actually use the 10 minutes in my car. I might as well. I mean, I was going to do the 10 minutes in the office. So if I leave 10 minutes early and I get into a conversation, I'm not in such a rush to get out of the conversation. If I leave 10 minutes early and I don't get into a conversation, I just do 10 minutes of work somewhere else. So I know that sounds insane, but that's the way I live my life. 10 minutes means a lot to me whenever every 10 minutes is a chance for me to help someone. So I put too much pressure on that. I need to calm myself down every now and then. But these are things that sound really corny. So if I told you to use mantra, replacement phrases, daily reflections, and trigger awareness, it's all like, yeah, those all sound good, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they're actually things I do, and they're actually things that make a difference, okay? So that's what we want to do. If we are doing actions to try to create motion and movement towards something, we need to analyze, is are our actions actually getting us what we want? Have we made improvements? Have we made progress? Have we moved to somewhere new? Or are we still just sitting on the porch rocking away? Okay? So track your behaviors and actions. Evaluate what is coming from those and then adjust accordingly to make sure you're not repeating things that get you nothing or repeating things that were maybe a negative or a backsliding motion. Okay? So you need to track, evaluate, and adjust. You can select one area of your life, start there, and as you make progress, it'll open you up and excite you to try in newer areas or harder areas of your life. Okay? So like I said, I do all this stuff and it has made a huge difference in my life. So I know it will for you guys too. If you want any help implementing this, shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll help you out. Just give me a little bit of an idea of what you're struggling with, and then I'll give you a book to read. And or I'll give you skills and things I've done or things I've talked with friends and clients before and that I know have worked for them. Okay? So if you're struggling with what to do and you actually want to do something to make a difference, shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com and we'll help you out. Okay? So hopefully this gave you an idea, some things to think of. But really it comes down to if you want to make progress, you have to make changes. You have to do something new to get somewhere new. Okay? So track what you're actually doing. Evaluate it and adjust it. And just keep repeating that on and on and on. Cool. Okay, you can make the life you want. You just got to put in the work to do it. So here's your start. Okay. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is for you, so we know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.